Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchik, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with James Kernan and Amy Babinchik. How are you doing today, James?
Doing wonderful. How are you, Amy?
I'm doing all right. I hear you had a workout kind of weekend.
I did. The weekend warrior is in full effect. I think I was doing just projects, yard work, honeydew stuff. You know, I'd been traveling most of last month. So it was first weekend, I think, in 3-4 weeks that I was around. So busy. And I'm paying for it today. I'm really sore. It was a good weekend, beautiful weather and a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm all smiles, that's for sure.
It was beautiful weather weekend in the Midwest and up here in Michigan too. And I had a chill weekend. Saturday morning, my cat had surgery. So she had a cyst removed from her side, a big one. So she's got a big boo-boo. But she's doing well, but it just meant I had to keep an eye on her and, you know, make sure she doesn't mess with the stitches and all that good stuff. Plus, I have medication to give her twice a day. So it was just a matter of, like, I couldn't really go anywhere. So I just kept going outside, put her in the yard, come back in, check on the cat, go outside a little bit, come back in, check on the cat.
Hey, that sounds like fun actually to me after my crazy weekend.
Well, I don't have any sore muscles from watching my cat. So, all right, hey, let's talk about a question for the day. This is an M&A type question.
Yeah.
But you know, honestly, it sort of applies to everybody. So the question is, what are some retention ideas for key employees during an acquisition? And, you know, when I sold my MSP, there was, of course, they hired all of the employees, but there was one key employee that they made part of the deal. Like, this person had to go. Everybody else would get an offer, could make up their minds, but one person had to join in order to make the deal a go. So yeah, sometimes you do have those key employees that you know you need to make it work in order for that acquisition to happen.
Yeah, things I'm seeing more and more on both the seller and the buyer side. So the seller normally gets a big deposit up front. And if there's a key person that's part of the deal that really helped you build the business, I would say you could carve out a small bonus for them, some type of retention bonus. You know, we'll give you $5,000 or $7,000 or $10,000 if you stick around for another 12 months. But this is a thank you from me, you know, but I'm going to make it a retention bonus. You could do that as the seller, and you can do the same thing as the buyer. You know, a lot of buyers are carving out, you know, money up front to make sure they lock in key employees. And Amy, you and I have talked quite a bit about, you know, one of the most important assets is the people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come in guns a-blazing, make all sorts of changes, and you're going to lose people, and you don't want that. You want to try to keep the team as stable as you can. So I'm a big fan. I love this question. But I would look at doing just retention bonuses, either on the buyer or the seller, or maybe even both, you know, keep them happy.
Yeah. In my case, the buyer, it's like we had to involve this person, this key person in the sale right toward the end, once we know we were going forward. But, you know, notice first, we had meetings between the two teams, including them. And then that job offer came forward first. And it was a little bit more than what I had been paying. So like you said, kind of a bonus for sticking around, and it was a longer contract period. So that to me is the best thing. But also, it's important the role that you're going to put these key employees into, right? So likely if it's a key employee, they've been at a very upper management level in the company that you're acquiring.
Yep.
And you need to maintain that, at least that level in, you know, once you've made this acquisition, and then also make sure that there's opportunities provided for those people to continue to move up, because what you're really buying is a future star in your company.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, the retention is so important. You know, I've been through so many, you know, either buy side or sell side deals, and, you know, I've seen them all done very differently, but I like the smooth ones. I like the ones that make all the employees want to stay. You know, it's a good culture fit and they're excited. They're genuinely excited. So, you know, put a little elbow grease into making sure that, you know, in the event you're the buyer, you know, you form good professional relationships with all the key people, make them happy, you know, do what you can. And it's not always about money. There's different things that motivate people. It could be recognition. And Amy, I just had this happen with a one-on-one client of mine. He just acquired a big business and his current team is really busy. And one of his star engineers quit. And the second one was kind of hinting at quitting. And so we brainstormed together and I wanted to make sure he was being compensated properly. So we came up with an idea. We did two things. One, we did almost like what's called a sign-on bonus, even though he was still there, you know, just gave him a grand, you know, just as a thank you. And then we put a performance plan together where he can make more money based on performance. And there, it was uncapped. It was pretty lucrative plan if he hits his numbers. And he was one of those key guys in your help desk from a utilization standpoint that you don't want to lose. So It worked magically, worked really well. He was super happy. And, you know, those kind of things, you know, go a long way. So,
yeah, I think it's really important to remember as the company that's buying, for you and for the owners that have sold, this is, you know, you guys are getting what you wanted, right? You're getting a larger, you're building your business. This is a happy day for you. On the sell side, you've sold your business, right? You've reached that goal and you're cashing out, and it's a pretty happy day for you. But for your employees, you just threw a big, huge uncertainty into their lives. And so comforting them with, you know, some job guarantees, letting them know what the opportunities are going to be for them, what their role is going to be, right? They're not going to feel diminished in a larger company because they're probably working in a much larger company now. Right. So I think that culture and that comfort piece is really equally important. You know, this has hit them out of the blue on the day of the sale, right? Because those employees, they never know until the day it's happened. So it's hit them out of the blue. They're worried about their job. You need to go forth and make quite an effort into making them feel comfortable and secure.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Emotions, it can't be underestimated how important that is. So let's talk about the news. Actually, before we do that, I want to mention we need you guys to send us in your questions. We're getting a pretty good stream of questions from you, but we'd like to have some more. So, James, we want them to send them to you. So what's your address?
Yeah, send any questions, anything you want us to talk about or MSP question of the week, send it to james@kernanconsulting.com. I'll make sure we add that to the show notes and talk about it. And even if it's something that we've already talked about before and you want clarification, or maybe you have an opposing view, we want to hear from you. So Amy and I have a chance to talk about it. So reach out anytime.
Yep. Awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about some things that caught our eye in news today. IT leaders expand AI agent use despite the governance gaps and cloud disillusionment. Kind of a weird title. They're like push forward, even though we know it's creating a bunch of security holes and problems for us, but we're just going to ignore those.
Yeah. I think the premise of that article, which was interesting, is, Amy, is you and I talk about AI every week. Every week, all of our customers, we encourage them to use it, you know, learn how to protect themselves and learn how to use that as a differentiator in your business from a sales and marketing standpoint as well. But as more and more people are doing what we're asking them to do, they're using AI, there's just a bigger gap that seems to be growing every day, every week, every month in the governance standpoint. So they're going to have a hard time catching up. So that was kind of the big part. You know, we all know AI is growing. New companies pop up every single day. But, you know, that governance is going to catch up and, you know, puts my mind at ease a little bit, because there's so much risk for the MSPs out there now. There's so many security holes and hackers are getting more and more sophisticated. But, you know, anyway, that's the standout item for me.
Yeah, you know, IT Nation Secure is going on right now as we talk about this. And I expect that whole conference will be about this topic, actually. So it's going to, for sure, every talk will be about AI. But if they're not talking about governance, they'll miss the boat. So I'll be interested to see what news items come out of that conference. But I expect this is going to be a big topic.
Yeah. Yep.
So I was at a Channel Partners event 2 weeks ago now, and there was a newish vendor that was there, and they were promoting their NFR program. And you noticed an article here that Bitdefender is making some changes to their channel partner program, and it includes an NFR program piece.
Yeah, yeah, and you don't see that every day.
I'm excited. I want to see it. Yeah. We want to kick the tires.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, try it out. And that was one of the big value propositions I had when I was an MSP. We used to tell all of our partners, we had a corporate compatibility lab and we use your tools in our own office. And we also use it with multiple other tools to test. So we want a playground, a sandbox where we can mess around with stuff, or even our customers' applications. So I saw Bitdefender was really just talking about expanding their channel program and, you know, deal registration, other enhancements and training for MSPs and resellers, but they had NFRs. And I'm just seeing more and more, you know, we've been at this for a long time. You know, it's not our first year in the rodeo here, but I just see big picture legacy vendors, you know, like Microsoft, kind of slowly sunsetting all the NFRs that we've learned to love. And that's what stood out to me. But what are your thoughts on NFRs? Don't, you know,
I think they're important. I think the vendors should provide NFR. Maybe Microsoft's big enough that they feel like they no longer have to do that. But I think as a smaller vendor, you absolutely should. As an MSP, we need to use the product in production to be able to really understand it.
Right.
You know, that's, to me, you know, that was, we were never going to recommend a product until we got a chance to use it ourselves and see what's what. So I think it's really, really important. And I think it's a great loyalty building tool as well.
Yeah.
You know, how much does it cost them to issue another license? Probably not very much, right? Mm-hmm. And you might get a return if that firm decides to then recommend you to a bunch of others. Tracking that recommendation, hard, and I probably wouldn't bother, but it's definitely there in a way that people in this industry actually prefer to work. So if there's an NFR, they will choose you before the company that doesn't have one.
Exactly. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. So I saw that Meta is changing the way that their ads are generated. So I have advertised on Facebook before.
Yep.
And you have to go in and create the ad, the content, and upload the photos, and it has to get approved by Facebook, and it comes back, and it's a it's kind of wizardized, but it's also kind of confusing. Choose your audience and, you know, did you get it right? And then go back in and tweak your audience and times when you want to post it, you know, all this stuff. And it's a lot. And so they've had some AI enhancements, but the AI enhancements have been, you know, let AI make suggestions on how to improve the wording of your ad, or let AI generate a photo. But now Meta says they're moving exclusively to AI generated ads.
Yeah.
So James, you would just go in and describe what it is that you want to advertise, maybe provide a link to your quarterly meeting or whatever, and then let the AI write the content and decide where the best places on Facebook are to put those ads. I mean, I don't know all the places on Facebook. You know, I visit maybe 4 tech groups on Facebook, and so if it can actually help with that, that could be good. We'll see how it goes. You know, this is AI actually doing something instead of it just correcting your grammar.
Yeah, it's in for those of you there's 2 types of ways that you can increase your audience. One is a full ad, and that's what Amy's talking about. I'm a big fan of the ads. Now it's going to be easier. And then there's boosts, and boosts have always been really easy for you. You'll get little reminders. Oh, do you want to boost this post? And it is easy, but I think it's a waste of money. You know, it's not a good way to officially boost what you want it to boost and get, you know, maybe more butts in the seat if you're having an event or just get the word out. But I love it. I can't wait to mess around with it because I do Facebook ads all the time.
Yeah. So the last thing I wanted to talk about is the 4-day work week. You know, we did a show on the 4-day work week recently. I'm going to say it's probably less than a month ago. You look back in the channels, in the previous episodes, you'll see that. Microsoft just released some interesting data. It seems like every day I've been seeing 4-day work week in the news. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely make a comeback. Well, Microsoft released some data. In 2019, they ran a 4-day work week experiment in Japan. So all of Microsoft Japan went to 4-day work week. And they did a couple interesting things. Well, first I'll give you the highlight. 40% productivity increase and a 25% less time off taken. So it's a big deal. That's a big deal. And they did something I think that probably was really key in making that happen. They've mandated that meetings could be a maximum of 30 minutes. So immediately every 1-hour meeting got cut in half. That created more time in the day for productivity. So I have a feeling that went a long way to covering that gap.
Let's talk about that. I love that rule, the meeting, you know, nothing to exceed over 30 minutes, especially when you're on a Zoom meeting, a Teams, a video meeting. I mean, it's really hard to sit still, even if you're in a meeting, but I continually run into MSPs that have 1-hour meeting, 90-minute meeting, 2-hour meeting, 3-hour meetings. Mm-hmm. Oh, I had to go through all the tickets, James, and it was like, oh, I want to pull my hair out. Just, I love the idea of the 30-minute meeting. And just when you really analyze, I sit on staff meetings a lot with my clients, Amy, and I hear so much wasted time. They go down rabbit trails in conversations. They sit and chit-chat. Half the people show up, you know, 10 minutes late. It's like, hey, if you're going to do 30-minute meetings, you better be there on time. You better have an agenda. We're going to go through things quick, and you need to be present, you know, and be mentally ready to go. So I love that idea.
Yeah. Push your water cooler stuff somewhere else.
Did you say this was an article that had the study was from 2019? Was there any update of that or?
I haven't, it was a limited time study. So I think they ran it for 6 months, and I don't know what they've done after that 6 month period on that.
Yeah. Cause I'm seeing more and more, you know, it kind of ebbs and flows. It seems like when COVID hit, everybody went remote. Mm-hmm. And then over time, more and more people are slowly bringing people back to the office just over time. And we're seeing more and more big corporations just mandate full 5-day work weeks back in the office. And it's creating turnover. People don't like that. The ideal scenario, based on everything that we've talked about and read, I think we're in agreement here, is the hybrid model, where you've got a couple days remote, a couple days, you know, in the office. But I think everything boils down to the stats that you just shared. It's all about productivity.
Yeah.
Working remote, to me, is a perk. So if you can maintain productivity numbers, hit our goals, maintain excellent collaboration and participation, then, you know, you'll get numbers like this. But I think it also requires a certain style of leadership, a certain style of employees that are disciplined. You've got to have good metrics in place.
All of that's completely true. You know, I ran my MSP as a remote office situation for its full 23 years. And not all employees are good at working remote.
Right.
So, you know, if you're a large company, like you said, maybe you can make it a perk. Hey, you know, if you're the person that's good at this and you can keep your productivity up, and we can measure that, which you should be able to measure any employee's productivity, not just the time punched in. Then you get to work remote. If you're that person who goes home and gets distracted by everything, then, remote work isn't for you, and you gotta stay here in the office because that's where you work best. But I think that's what people are looking for. You know, they want to work in those environments where they work best.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I love having, so that's a great topic. I'm curious to hear what everybody else is doing out there. I talk to my clients all the time about this, and most all of them are doing a hybrid model, where they've got time, you know, in the office and then time away. And the key denominator there is really them just monitoring productivity. But it's, you know, if you're hiring people, you know, this is a really important perk that some people expect, you know,
Yeah, I did a 4-day work week in the summer. So Memorial Day to Labor Day, we did Fridays off, and it was kind of a perk of working here. You know, that we had that off in the summer. Now, you know, and I've described this before. We didn't tell our clients we were closed. What we did is we didn't schedule any meetings, we didn't schedule any projects, unless we couldn't be avoided, but. We didn't pre-schedule anything for that Friday. And so the way my business was structured, where people were assigned to client groups, as long as they had everything under control with those client groups, you know, they were on call, they had to have their phone by them. But that gave them a lot of flexibility on that Friday in the summer. And, you know, up here in the north, summers are short and they're highly, highly valued. So that was a great perk that everyone enjoyed.
Yeah, they're highly valued for sure. Yeah, and I might have shared this story before, but I remember, you know, kind of that first year into COVID. I remember, because I'm old school, going to admit it. I'm going to be a little, you know, transparent here. You know, Amy, while you were remote with your, you know, I had a big building in San Diego. So we had a big brick and mortar building. You know, I ended up, over time, I ended up buying a, you know, big fancy office, 14,000 square feet. And I would want people there. So I would always mandate, you know, 5 days a week, you're in the office. And that's how I grew up in the industry. That's just how it was. Now, COVID, I know, changed things and some of the key things that we've talked about. But here's a perfect example. I had one of my clients in California call me, and we first started texting back and forth, and he was livid that he had two engineers that wouldn't come into the office. And this was in California, in the Los Angeles County area. And this was during COVID, and he was mandating that they came in the office. And I'm like, hey, you know, well, let's be a little bit more sensitive. You know, there's all sorts of regulation coming out from the CDC, and, you know, we're not supposed to be doing that. I said, you know, after I calmed him down a little bit, I go, let's do this. Let's go through your financial statements. I want, and I'm going to look at your help desk numbers, your pipeline numbers. And he was a decent size MSP, about 3 million. I had about 12 people. And we looked at the first 6 months prior to, you know, to COVID. And then when his team all went remote, because they were basically 100% remote, except him, he would come in the office. Then the last 6 months of that. So we had kind of two areas to look at. In every single measurable metrics, from net income, from increased utilization, increased profit margins, increased productivity numbers, everything was favorable. And I kind of closed my conversation with them. I go, look, let them do what they want. You're making a lot more money. They're a lot more productive. Why do you want to mess that up? You know, you're going to lose people and you get yourself in some legal issues. And I remember it just like it was yesterday. And it was probably, 4 years ago now. You know, as long as you've got good metrics that you can measure, you know, and, you know, watch things on your financial statements. I love the idea of the 4-day work week.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's just close up by reminding people of an event that you've got coming up.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. It's called Ask Anything in IT, and it's really around mergers and acquisitions because we've got some industry consultants in there. But Ryan Busciano is going to be there. Carl Polachek is going to be there. I'm going to be there. And they kind of tag named it Stump the Chump. So if you want to stump the chump and you ask anything you want about mergers and acquisitions, I'm sure we'll take other questions as well. Join us on June 10th. I'm going to drop the note up in, or the link to register. It's a free webinar, but it's going to be live with Carl, Ryan, and myself. And that should be a lot of fun. I hope you can join us too, Amy.
I will endeavor to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That's exciting.
It's good. Hopefully you'll get a great turnout for that. I love Ask Me Anything events. And interestingly, Stump the Chump is what we used to call those events really, really, really long time ago. So yeah, yet another full circle moment. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. And we will see you next week on the SMB Community Podcast.
All right. Have a great week. Thanks. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.